This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, Canada. Zucchino Weeks in studio for Golf Talk Canada. It's cup season. We are right in the heart of the FedEx Cup playoffs. We are approaching the President's Cup. Of course, the President's Cup cut off this week. It is cup season, and with this temperature, Bob, in Southern Ontario this morning, it feels like Stanley Cup season.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody, I walked in here this morning and I said, were you the guy responsible for flipping that switch going from summer to fall? It sure feels like, it feels crisp out there this morning.
I played golf in a jacket this week. Haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
Did you play a little golf this week?
I did play a little bit of golf, and both times in long pants.
Yes.
This is the first time in a while. I played at my own course at Weston, and then played a beautiful Burlington Golf and Country Club with some pals from Ping. And what a great golf course that is. Holy
smokes.
Yes,
I've never played Burlington. I've heard nothing but good things.
Stanley Thompson and it's interesting. The last hole is a par three, and you always think, courses that finish in a par three. Boy, this is a great par three, and what a way to settle a lot of matches, I'll bet, that come down to that hole.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You're right. Easy to watch that match finish, right, on a par three
exactly.
From a club perspective.
Exactly.
It's funny you mentioned the long pants thing. You know, I'm just thinking of now, just, you know, I think my father's driving around probably listening this morning, Angry Mike, but he ain't quite there yet, but he's pretty close. But, you know, there's, like, I don't know what happens. Obviously we're not there yet, but we will get there. There comes an age in a man's golfing life, I don't know what it is. I think it's somewhere in their 70s, where there's a refusal to wear pants. You're in shorts all the time. You have that member. We have those members at the Hunt.
Thank God you clarified that.
Yeah.
Refusal to wear pants.
No, it's like we have members like that at the Hunt. My dad's almost on the verge. It doesn't matter how bad the weather is, he's wearing shorts. It's like, I'm wearing shorts. You're not stopping me from wearing shorts.
He's got a parka on top.
Yes, parka on top. Right? Do you have these at Weston? Do you have the we must wear shorts?
Yep.
Older male membership.
I got a guy at my gym who wears shorts, and he just it's a date thing. November 1st, he'll put pants on, but it doesn't matter what the weather is, snowing, hail.
That's right. Before,
he'll wear the shorts.
I mean, I'm the opposite. I can't, I'm cold, like, I never used to be cold. I'm cold all the time now. I'm like, you gotta, like, for me to put shorts on, it's gotta be swampy.
Wow.
So, all right. Busy show. Lots of President's Cup talk, lots of FedEx Cup talk. Taking a look at the game within the game, the bubble at the bottom. Now looking at the 70 that will move forward to the BMW Championship. Adam Hadwin holding on to that final President's Cup spot with only 3 days left to qualify for President's Cup teams. We'll do winners, weird, and what. We had a Player of the Year Twitter poll that I personally find very surprising, but we'll get into that later on in the show and talk if there's any other options that we should be talking about other than the options available on the Twitter board. And we'll look at leaderboards from around the world of golf, but let's hit it off with some big news in news and headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
Well, 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 Bob, after a big week on Canadian soil, a true home game, only 30 minutes down the road from, you know, where she was born, Brooke Henderson now tied for the lead in Portland along with Stacey Lewis and Injun Chun. They're at 10 under par through two rounds of golf. Henderson goes 67-67. And she is trying to win this tournament for the third year in a row. What is it about Portland? She's going to buy a house there if this keeps up. And to me, pretty impressive after what must have been an exhausting week for her emotionally and mentally last week to come here and look like she's going to have a real solid chance to defend again.
I think that she prepared so hard for last week that what kind of got lost in a lot of it was how good she was playing without the pressure on. So, like, if you saw her Saturday, obviously, she walked up on the first tee having made the cut. No expectations, whips out a little 63 course record. And so I think that she had been working very, very hard in preparation for that. So that good play is carrying over. And, of course, as you say, you get to courses where you love and you have great results. I mean, it's like Tiger at Akron or Davis Love at Hilton Head. You know, there's just certain people who play well on certain courses. And she is now, through 10 rounds on this golf course, is 45 under par.
That is
her last
remarkable.
10 rounds.
Think
so,
about that.
I know.
That's absolutely remarkable.
And she's also, by the way, I think this week and then next week are her last two tournaments as a teenager. And then her birthday is September 10th, I believe. She'll turn 20.
No, the poor old soul.
I know.
Unbelievable.
She's over the hill.
Over the hill. And, you know, to think about this, like you're suggesting, the fruits of her labor maybe coming in a week late like this, like you're suggesting, be a nice little, I don't want to call it late in the season. They still have a major to play on the LPGA Tour, the Evian Masters. But a win would go, I think, a big way for her year right now, for Brooke. Now, speaking of players that dominate certain golf courses, you mentioned, you know, Hilton Head and Davis Love III, of course, Tiger at Akron, Tiger at Murfield,
Tiger at Bay Hill, Tiger at Torrey Pines.
Speaking of Tiger, back in the news, the green light to start chipping and pitching, sent a little video out there on social media. I can't believe this is still news, but I guess it is, Bob.
I mean, what a wild ride the last 2 years. Someone has put out the point that he has played. In the last 2 years, he has played one official PGA Tour event. And that's mind-boggling when you think about it, really. And then on the other hand, it isn't, because he's just been this tired old horse that keeps breaking down and going through all these life struggles. And, man, it's hard to watch. And it is, I think, though, less and less becoming news now, isn't it? I think so.
I'm in the camp of, to me, it's become a bit of a circus. I know some people don't agree with that. Theory for me, I don't like it. It bothers me. I don't, you know, after the incident with Elon in November, what was that? 2009? Is that year correct? Was that 2009? He took the 9-iron to the face.
2009.
And yeah, 2009. Getting the thumbs up for Scully. See, he's got the young memory. He remembered.
Yeah,
it was 2009.
Right.
When I think about that, and then think that wasn't maybe the low point. You know, the fact that there's been more of a circus since then, it's been just such a chain. This was a guy who was so untouchable, so bulletproof, Teflon, in terms of his persona, not only with the media and the fans, but with the players. He was untouchable, right? And now I'm like, this is a bit of a sideshow, and it's just sad to watch. I wish he wouldn't send this stuff out. I wish he'd go quietly into the dark for a while. I think no news from Tiger for a year would be the best thing in the world. No news at all.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think he's probably just trying to show that he's still a golfer, maybe.
I guess. You know, Lee Trevino's chipping somewhere too, Tiger.
Yeah.
All right. Phil Mickelson also with some interesting comments post-opening round of the Dell Technology, which is the stop on the PGA Tour this week. This is, of course, at Boston, TPC Boston. And only one round deep. Remember, this is a Labor Day Monday finish, so there's only one round in the books. We'll get to the leaderboard later. Dustin Johnson on top of this leaderboard. But Phil Mickelson finally actually showing so that he's got something in the tank with a 69 here. It's been a rough stretch the last 6 months or so for Phil. And he was suggesting that he's been suffering from some illness. He did not want to get into it. He, you know, the way he described it, Bob, he alluded to, you know, potential chronic fatigue is what he was talking about. He said his energy was back up. He's dealt with it with his doctor over the last couple of weeks, and this is the most focused and the best energy he's had in quite some time on the golf course. I don't know. Is this a story about pick me for the President's Cup?
I don't know about so much about that. I mean, Phil's always a little bit cryptic in some things over the years, but this, I mean, in some ways this kind of makes sense because he has been kind of lackluster. But I wish he wouldn't just kind of do this kind of hidden stuff. Right? Either come out with it or don't come out with it.
Do you honestly
tell us or don't tell us?
Do you have an ailment
halfway, for real?
Have you been diagnosed with something?
He had that arthritis thing that he came up with in 2010, I believe it was, where he's been taking some drugs for that. But, you know, it does explain a little bit about why his lackluster play, or does it? Maybe this is an excuse. I don't know. But I just wish he would sort of either tell us or not tell us. Don't give us this middle-of-the-road mystery kind of thing. But I don't know. I think this will finally be the time when you can't pick him. I just think if you're Steve Stricker, I just don't know if you can pick them. I guess you can because the rest of the team is so strong.
I was going to say, let's get into that a little later, too, because I think right now they still pick them. I do.
Probably.
I'd be shocked if they didn't, but let's get into that. Maybe we could throw that out there on Twitter this morning. Let's throw that out there on our Twitter handle at Golf Talk Canada or at TSN 1050 Ray. Let's get it out there. Would you pick Phil, yes or no? Why? Let's hear from you in terms of what the Phil fans are saying this morning, or non-Phil fans, for that matter. And finally, Bob, interesting. Now, this, I did not hear this or catch this anywhere. Lots of rumors still going around about Glen Abbey, obviously, since what happened with Oakville City Council. Rumors about a new potential date on the calendar for the RBC Canadian Open. Those rumors are getting stronger. You and I have heard it from multiple independent sources inside and outside of the PGA Tour camp. But now this out of Milton City Council.
So Monday night, Milton met, and they unanimously endorsed a redesigned Rattlesnake Point Golf Club that will become the permanent home of the Canadian Open within the next 5 years. Now, this is what they're saying. They have passed a bylaw or whatever to allow for some redevelopment on Rattlesnake Point Golf Course with the intention of making it the permanent home of the Canadian Open. It requires basically a boundary extension north of Britannia Road. So they're going ahead with it. ClubLink is going ahead with it. ClubLink was at the meeting. They were the ones who were presenting and asking for this. But Golf Canada, I asked Lawrence Applebaum, the CEO of Golf Canada, last Saturday at the Women's Open, and he said there's nothing on their half, on their side, that says, yes, this is going to happen. But ClubLink and the City of Milton are proceeding as if this will be a fait accompli, which will make it the new home of the Canadian Open. And I can see from Glen Abbey's, from ClubLink's standpoint, they want to say, well, we don't want to be the bad guys who took Glen Abbey away. We'll give you this new course. But I still think there's a few things going on. But it's interesting that we're seeing all these new moves towards perhaps finding a new site.
To me, this starts to scream now, the way you've just positioned it, as just a leverage play from ClubLink to say, hey, you know, we've got plans to put it over here. This is, you know, and trying to save, I guess, their real estate deal in Oakville. And I don't blame them for it. I'm not pointing at them saying, shame on you. I say, you know, hey, you are the owners of that property. You did it. They were pretty transparent through and through this whole sales process. It's not like this thing flew under the radar. If I was the owner, I love Glen Abbey. I love what it's done for the Canadian Open. You and I said, you know, we've always talked about how we love it as a golf course and a venue. It makes for great, great TV. But at the end of the day, it's business, yeah, and you're the owner of the property. So I'd be positioning these things too if I was ClubLink.
I mean, there's lots of land at Rattlesnake. There's lots of potential there to. But I think you got to spruce up the golf course a little bit.
Oh yes.
To host a Canadian
Open. All right. On the other side, we're going to hear from DJ Sergio. FedEx Cup playoffs. We'll take a look at who's the new bubble boy who needs to make a push to get to the BMW. This is GTC.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. It is leg two of the FedEx Cup playoffs. The top 100 move forward to the Dell Technology Championship. This is TPC Boston. This used to be the Deutsche Bank. If for those of you who are asking, what is the Dell Technology Championship? Leaderboard looks like this. Dustin Johnson, 5-under par. Kyle Stanley, 4-under. Mark Leishman, 4-under. Sergio Garcia, 4. John Rahm, 4. We'll get deeper into this board as well as the Canadians. Look at the bubble boy. Remember, this is only one round deep. This is a Monday finish. Before we get into this deeper, let's hear from our leader, Dustin Johnson, looking for back-to-back playoff wins and his fifth victory of the season.
Yeah, played, you know, really solid, you know, drove it well, you know, been hitting my driver good, so that, you know, that's a big key, especially on difficult days with the wind conditions. You know, it's blowing pretty good out there. You know, if you can be in the fairway where you can control the spin on the golf ball, is a big key, and, you know, that was a key for me today. I drove in the fairway a bunch.
got that new putter in the bag last week, was successful, and then it looks like it didn't lose any heat while it had a couple of days off.
Yeah, I mean, I rolled it pretty good today. I hit it really well too. But I rolled the putter good. You know, one little hiccup there on 14. I three putted 14 from about 20 feet. I don't even know what I was thinking, but yeah, just so focused on the line, I completely forgot about the speed and hit it about 10 feet by. So, but other than that, I thought my speed was pretty good today. I rolled it really nicely. So, but yeah, I mean, the golf game's in good form right now. I'm feeling good. I got a lot of confidence, and I'm looking forward to the rest of this week.
So it feels to me, Bob, like he's riding another wave, a similar wave that we saw that he was on as we headed into Augusta. And he won three in a row, and he was on this big wave of momentum, and he was looking dominant, like he was going to be the number one player in the world and just run away with this season with, six, seven, eight wins and maybe a major or two in there. And then he fell down the staircase. Then we kind of lost the summer, and now we are here kind of almost picking up from that spot again. I guess momentum's a real thing with these guys.
I think it's like he's sort of bookending the year, right, with great play. And it's funny because at the RBC Canadian Open, he kept saying, yeah, he feels like he's pretty much back to where he was. And then you listen to him next week at Akron. He said, yeah, I think I'm pretty much back to where he was. But the results weren't quite there consistently. But now, clearly, he's back into that groove where he really has no weaknesses. And with exception, as he said there, and a couple of putting hiccups, these rounds are pretty mistake-free.
The one thing I'm really liking so far about this FedEx Cup playoffs, and I know we're only one tournament deep with DJ and Spieth last week and now for one round in the Dell Technologies, but I have recalled playoff seasons where they've almost been disconnected from the rest of the season. The year Billy Horschel won, for instance. It seemed like the guys with Billy Horschel and the guys in those tournaments week in, week out, making a push, were guys with a lot in the tank because they did nothing all year, it seemed. And it was almost like, okay, well, these guys just have energy and everybody else is done. This year, I'm not feeling that. Last week, we see DJ and Spieth, obviously two guys in the headlines all year. Now we got Garcia and Rahm, only one off his league, guys that have been played, that have played well all year. I think, I don't know, this is what the playoffs to me should be all about, and I think we're going to get a great run here over the next few weeks. Now we have some Canadians, though, in trouble. Mackenzie Hughes certainly moving up, right now it looks like to be projected to move up three spots to 34. He's fine for next week. Adam Hadwin, of course, is the highest man on this list from Team Canada. Hadwin right now is projected at, how come I can't see him here?
He's at 20th.
He is 20.
He comes into the week as 18th. He's, right now projected to drop a couple spots, but he'll be solid. And I think, I shouldn't say solid. He's solid, obviously, for next week. Then after that, it gets a little tense.
Gets a little tighter. So it's going to be interesting to see if both of them still have a really decent shot at the top 30, especially Hadwin, but Mackenzie just on the outside looking in. But that's where the good news stops, Bob, because as of right now, the rest of Team Canada looking to fall out of that top 70 and will not go to the BMW Championship. The closest on that list being Graham Dillette needs to have, a huge push here. He's a 77 projected and heading in the wrong direction.
Well, yeah, 74th coming in. He's got some time to move. You can make a couple three rounds. He'll sneak in. And then you go down to Nick Taylor, and he looks like this will be the end of him. He's 92 coming in. He's moving up to 90th. So if he, a good push, maybe something happens. But it's funny because the week heading into the playoffs, there were so many big moves by guys who jumped way up. As a result, a guy like David Hearn, for instance, dropped out. And for those asking, by the way, David Hearn is not playing in the Webb Finals this week, but he will play the next 3 weeks. That's his plan right at the moment. But you saw guys like Harold Varner and Rory Sabatini jump way up. So that's the one thing about this that I like is that, again, I think I've beat this to death, but there's great excitement at the top, but there's also great excitement at the cut line where people are going to come and miss or just make it. So, Nick Taylor has a great next three rounds. He might sneak in. Who knows? Graham Dillette, same thing.
Yep, they got three rounds to go. That's the difference. Right now, there are some big names as well outside of Team Canada projected not to move forward to the top 70. Brent Snedeker being one of them. Bubba Watson being another. And I know Bubba's played well the last couple of weeks, but really another lost season.
Brent's on the shelf. He's injured. He hasn't been playing, so he's not going to.
He ain't going to move anywhere.
That's a spot that's going to be taken. But you're right, Bubba Watson, who's had kind of a mystery year. There's a couple of guys that I was looking at before who are in that same,
Cody Gribble, a winner.
Yeah, tour winner, right? Chad Campbell, who's had an up and down year, is going to fall probably just short. You know, there's a bunch of guys.
Brandon
in there.
Grace, all I do is play majors well.
Yeah, right. There's a bunch of guys in there that you kind of look at and you say, wow, I thought this guy might be a little bit better. But it's going to be interesting to see over the next couple of weeks where these guys fall out. I mean, Rory's in a struggle to try and make it to the Tour Championship. So we'll see what he can put together as well.
Yeah, struggling again this week. Just a horrible putting performance that we'll get into later on in the show. Now, speaking of bubbles and cut lines, as of Monday, President's Cup teams are set. After that, you have to rely on a captain's pick. Adam Hadwin playing for more than just his FedEx Cup life. He's also playing for his President's Cup life, holding on dearly right now to that 10th position. Coming up, we're going to update you on what needs to happen if he holds on to that. Looking pretty good right now. The guy that's chasing him is right there with him this week in Boston. We'll also take a look at if Bob was picking right now, who would be his picks for both sides, U.S., international. I'll do the same. And we'll get into Phil Mickelson. Yes or no? If you're Steve Stricker. This is GTC.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC as we continue Cup Talk here. Today at Golf Talk Canada, switching gears from FedEx Cup, Bob, to President's Cup. Here's what the teams look like as of right now. Let's not forget at the end of Monday's round at the Dell Technology, through two rounds of the FedEx Cup playoffs, these teams will be locked in. Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, Daniel Berger. They are your top five for Team USA. That is very strong at the top end. Kisner, real bulldog, Brooks Koepka, U.S. Open champion, Matt Kuchar, runner-up at the Open Championship, Patrick Reed, we all know what he did in team competition last year at the Ryder Cup, he holds on to that 9th spot, and Charlie Hoffman, who's had another strong season, holding on to the 10th and final spot for Team USA. Outside of that, we have Kevin Chappell, Brian Harman, Jason Duffner, Brandon Steele, Gary Woodland, Phil Mickelson falling down to that 16th spot. Those are the guys on the outside looking in. Now, taking a look at that international team, Hideki Matsuyama, he holds the fort at the top, but clearly the best player on Team International. Jason Day struggled this season, number two. Adam Scott, Louis Oosthuizen, Charles Schwartzel, Mark Leishman, Brandon Grace, Johnny Vegas, Siwoo Kim, and Adam Hadwin holding on to that 10th spot. Now, behind Adam Hadwin, Hideto Tanahara, who is not playing this week, Emiliano Grillo, who is tied with Adam Hadwin at one under par through one round of the Dell Technology. So Grillo is the guy who can spoil the party. But Bob, I got to say to you, right now, sitting there, both one under, looking good for Hadwin, and then I read those names after Hadwin, and I start to go, well, even if he falls to 11, who do you why leapfrog him to get to who? There's nobody there for me that I'm going to pick.
Yeah, it's... It's sort of, I mean, in one way, what it does say is how weak the team is for the international side in terms of what you've got to choose from. Now, there's some good players in there. So here's essentially what's got to happen for Hadwin not to be on the team. So Tanahara, you mentioned, not playing this week, can't reach number 10. Grillo has to finish solo 12th or better for him to pass Hadwin. This is Hadwin missing the cut, by the
right.
way. Aikida is playing in Japan. He's 5 over. He has to win the tournament in Japan, so he can't do it. The next two guys, Li Haotong, who is the Chinese golfer, and Ben An, neither of them playing this week. Anirban Lahiri, who is 16th, has to finish in a three-way tie for second or better. Then you go down the list, and you've got Zhenghun Wang, Dylan Fratelli, Danny Lee, Graham Dillette, Sung Kang, Mackenzie Hughes. It's like I'm sitting here looking at this and saying, okay, I'm going to give Hadwin, I'm going to say if Hadwin makes the cut, he's going to be on the team. If I'm Nick Price, how do I find two more guys on that list?
If you're picking right now for Team International, who are you taking? Because this is to me, like you say, I can't find. I'm obviously going to go, for me personally, I'm going to go with Grillo just because of his PGA Tour experience. He's got a fairly solid record on the PGA Tour. I'll go with Grillo. And after Grillo, I have a hard time. I might fall all the way down to 16 and give Lahiri an opportunity to right the wrong. He was the GOAT the last time 2 years ago.
What if Graham Dillette plays well this week, as he did at the PGA Championship? The only question, of course, with him is you never know when he wakes up if it's how his back's going to be. So that's a bit of a risky one, although remember what he did at Muirfield playing alongside Jason Day. I mean, he was a bulldog.
And Nick Price was the captain.
Right.
So he remembers that those dynamics with Jason Day, and he would also give him a Team Canada pairing. Now, obviously, you and I with some bias here having this conversation.
Sure.
But yeah, again, you could see that second pick falling hard down these standings.
I mean, there's some other names in there. Danny Lee's in there, and Hideto Tanahara has had a good year. We just don't follow him because he's playing mostly in Japan, but he's played well throughout this year. So there's lots of picks in there. But I mean, then the bigger picture is compare international with U.S. It looks like it looks on paper anyway like it's going to be a whitewash.
Well, it certainly does. And the last time around, it was 15.5 to 14.5. But that was a year where Hideki was playing well, a year where Jason Day was the number one player in the world at the end of 2015. Adam Scott was still Adam Scott. That was a very different international team now than what we're looking at this time. Now, from a U.S. standpoint, well, our Twitter poll, let's get to that. Right now, we sent out on Twitter, would you pick Phil Mickelson? Would he be on this team? As of right now, it is 50-50, split up the middle. We only sent this out just moments ago, and we've got 38 votes in the last 5 minutes. And it's 50-50 right now of our current listening audience that is tweeted in from wherever they're listening. Or if they've just picked this up on Twitter and they're actually not listening to us right now, which could also happen.
That's true.
But 50-50 right now in the field. Before we get into the field, Bob, who would you add as your two guys? Because I would have a hard time not picking Mickelson. Brian Harman would be my first pick. I would add Brian Harman to this team. I thought he's played so well all year. He's such a good putter that can mean a lot in match in match play, especially in team format. And I'll go with Mickelson. I'll go with Mickelson for basically a couple of reasons. Veteran leadership on a stacked team already. The fact that this tournament is going to be in New York, where the people just adore Phil Mickelson, and it will be Liberty National. And, you know, we're a year removed from just an epic performance at the Ryder Cup, where he was clearly one of Team USA's best players. And that performance head-to-head on Sunday with Sergio Garcia was ridiculous. So I still, you know, I'm a Phil guy. You know what? I'd still give him one more kick at the can. Until Phil does not perform on an international stage, I'm still going to go with him.
It's a big question for Steve Stricker, for sure. You know, you got Kevin Chappell, who's played very, very well, has finally got that win, been very consistent. Brian Harman's playing well this week. Jason Duffner, by the way, Jason Duffner was
did you see that?
He was up in Toronto here.
Yeah, a little batting practice for J Duff
with his buddy Josh Donaldson.
I heard that he's going to replace Bautista in right field.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about his arm, but
he's got better range.
So I don't know. Like the beauty that Stricker has here is he's got such a strong team already. He can afford to do something like add Phil Mickelson. But you know, you might just piss off the guys like Chappell and Harman,
sure,
and perhaps
Duffner
and
years,
Steele.
Right?
Yeah, who've had good years and are probably deserving of a spot on the team. But do you want to be the first guy not to put Phil Mickelson on your team? I don't know. It's an interesting conversation. I think if anybody could do it, it's nice guy Steve Stricker. I might just go with whoever finishes 11th and 12th, add those on there and say, come on, boys, let's have it. And
Make
Phil a cheerleader and bring him along for the ride.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We've just had another quick 20 votes come through, and 54% is saying yes to 46 no. So the yes is just leaning. So the Phil fanatics chiming in here. It's, you know, the other thing we got to think about, too, in a President's Cup when we're making these selections and we're considering Phil, Bob, is the fact that in the President's Cup, unlike the Ryder Cup, there's a couple of things. The President's Cup's never going to be the Ryder Cup. Okay?
No.
But there are some logistical, systematic things about the President's Cup that I actually prefer over the Ryder Cup. For one, it's an extra day of golf. President's Cup is Thursday to Sunday. Ryder Cup is Friday to Sunday. You get one extra day of golf. No one sits. And that is something that may affect a Phil Mickelson pick, especially a guy who's talking about fatigue. He's 47 years old, and you know, you can't rest him. He's got to play every day, right? They play every day in the President's Cup. The other thing that President's Cup I like over the Ryder Cup is on the final day, the captains get to match. The home captain gets to match who goes out against you. So if you're the away captain, you put up Jason Day. I'm the home captain. I get to put some. So I like the matchups. Those things I do like better about the President's Cup in terms of a formatting. But the fact that it's a longer stretch with no sitting, does that affect your decision at all when looking at a 47-year-old?
Well, I think even if you add Phil Mickelson, he's not going to play every match, right? I just don't see that happening because he's not playing well enough to deserve that. So I don't know if that would enter into my mind. But I don't know.
He's going to play every day, though, would you not assume?
Well, they do sit now. I think they do sit one match.
They can shoot a session, right?
They did sit a session. They do sit, and I think that you don't have to play every day, so I think you could sit him. But I think that, I don't know. He certainly rises to the occasion, as we saw at the Ryder Cup. So, boy, I just don't know. It's a hard thing to do.
So you're not willing to say yes yet?
I'm not convinced. I don't think if it was my pick right now, I would not add him.
Oh. Okay, now we're going to get into something a little bit more sticky again on the other side, because this wasn't sticky enough with Phil. Who's the player of the year? We sent out a Twitter poll a couple of days ago, and the question was to the Twitter universe, and this goes back to our conversation last week, Bob, about how many wins is a major worth when you're talking about player of the year.
Exactly.
And according to our Twitter universe, not many. It was who was player of the year as if it ended right now before the Dell technology. Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, or other. We'll get into that next. We'll get Bob's opinion on it. This is GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC, Zucchino Weeks. Bob and I were just talking off mic, and he reminded me the previous President's Cup, they changed the format to help Nick Price and the international team, where you can limit a player's play, give a guy deal. So maybe that helps the Mickles.
Yeah, so instead of 6-4 balls, the 6 foursomes on the first 2 days, it's 5-5.
Right.
So you get to hide a couple more players.
Hide one or two guys, which
you
couldn't do.
4-4 on the day three.
Right. Which as of 2013 was not available to Captain Price.
Right.
And this time we're talking about being available to Captain Stricker, which is kind of interesting. Who is the player of the year? We asked you. As of right now, before that, this went out on Wednesday, so before Dell Technologies started, who's the player of the year? Jordan Spieth, 3 wins, including a major. Justin Thomas, 4 wins, including a major. And Dustin Johnson, 4 wins, no major. We also asked, is there an other? Our poll results, I find surprising, Bob. Dustin Johnson, according to our Twitter audience, player of the year, 37% of the vote. Jordan and JT, 29%, and 5% other. So I don't really know how to take this. Is it a popularity contest? Is it because DJ won last week and it's fresh on people's mind? Or does the golfing community, the people that listen to this show, the people that watch golf, the people that, you know, buy and read golf magazines, do they not have any weight in wraparound wins, or wins that happen in the fall, or in Hawaii? You got it. In their minds, does the golfing season start somewhere near the end of February and end sometime around now? And everything else means nothing. I don't know, because statistically, this is a slam dunk for me. 4 wins in a major beats everything else right now. And if I'm voting, and if I had a vote, Dustin Johnson needs to win 6 wins. For him to be my player of the year, to not have a major. 5 without a major, he's still not my player of the year.
It is interesting because I was thinking back after the PGA Championship on Golf Talk Canada TV, we were talking about it coming down to Spieth, Thomas, or perhaps Matsuyama.
That's right.
Right?
And he was so consistent the whole time.
We never even talked about Dustin Johnson. And then all of a sudden we get DJ wins, and all of a sudden he comes popping back in. So for me, though, it's Justin Thomas right now, I think, because of the consistency over the course of the year. 10 top 10s, which is more than Spieth or DJ. But we're not done. And that's the biggest point. So I think I'm with you. I think if DJ wins one of the next two and a tour championship, I think I might be inclined to vote for him.
Okay, so here's the foggy part for me. If he wins maybe this week, two more victories, he gets to six without a major, to me, he's my player of the year. What if he only wins one more, but he wins the overall FedEx Cup? Where does that tilt the scale? So if he wins five tournaments, but he also wins the FedEx Cup without winning at East Lake, which can happen. We saw it a year with Tiger and Phil dueling down the stretch where Phil won the Tour Championship and Tiger won the FedEx Cup. If we have that kind of scenario, is the five wins with being called FedEx Cup champion enough to push you over the edge? That's where it gets gray for me, and I have a hard time with it.
Yeah, I mean, it has happened. You know, we've had a player of the year who has not won a major against other guys who have, like Luke Donald.
Right. Tiger Woods in 2013.
Right. Luke Donald in 2011, and the guys go on runs and they win a lot of tournaments and they have consistency over the course of the year. So that measures against major championships. Mm-hmm. But I still think that if you win a major, you have to be given a little bit of a... If it's two guys who have similar records, but one of them's got the major, I think it always goes to the guy with the major. But it doesn't always, because we've seen that here in that situation. I think the Tour Championship and the overall FedEx Cup title now has elevated to a point where I would consider it as maybe even half a notch above winning a World Golf Championship event, but below a major championship.
Right.
I think that's where I would put it.
Interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. And of course, a lot of this is, you know, what if?
Right.
What if is? But right now, I think if the players are pulling the trigger right now, they're all screaming Justin Thomas is what I would be suggesting in the locker room right now. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see down the stretch. And of course, right, DJ right now in a great position to keep adding. You know, he loves momentum. He's riding a wave. But Jordan not having the week he wants. I think all these decisions, all these conversations are going to really come down to that final 30 at East Lake, which is what it should be. Should be all about that.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're sitting here talking about that. We just had a conversation about players of the year who have won multiple times without a major and became player of the year. And it was only 2013 where Tiger Woods won five times, including a players championship. And he was number one in the world at the end of 2013. That's also the year that Phil Mickelson won the Open Championship with an incredible back nine down the stretch at the British Open. And to think that we would have sat around here doing a wrap-up show the end of November, Bob, and we would have said, well, that's the last time we're ever going to see Tiger and Phil win. We would not have believed that at the time. And here we are, and neither one has had a victory since.
Yeah, I mean, those two guys have just... Phil, it's been sort of a gradual decline, you know, in terms of his play. He's still competitive. He's still playing.
He had a great year last year without a win.
Right. He's still playing some decent golf, but then you go down and, I mean, obviously Tiger is just
the car cliff.
Crash.
Yeah.
Trying to get back on the road. But I'm shocked at that. It does go to show you, though, how guys suddenly kind of just, not suddenly, guys who just kind of fade from view as a golfer, as a golf competitor, as a guy who's at the top. Jim Furyk is a guy who's also, he's had just a terrible year this year, all things considered, a guy who's kind of been around in that same age group. Actually, he's older. He's 47. So, you know, it just so shows you how tough it is to stay competitive for over an extended period of time. And I think it's more and more difficult these days just based on the physical demands on what these guys are doing with their swings.
Yeah, swinging at 120 miles an hour all the time, and this is just becoming a young man's game. Going to be interesting to watch that unfold. On the other side, we're going to talk winners, weird and what. Bob and I take a look at some leaderboards. We'll get Scully time. Who's Scully's player of the year? Why or why not? Would he pick Phil Mickelson? Why or why not? Also, show us your stripes. Only 1 week left. Do you want to win brand new Adidas footwear? Send us a pic of you decked out in your Adidas gear or just your favorite Adidas gear with the hashtag show us your stripes on Instagram or Twitter. And then, of course,
a lot of late entries.
People knowing that they have 1 week left to win the footwear. And then the following week, we'll do a grand prize draw for everyone who participated for a wardrobe, Adidas wardrobe for the season. So that's coming up in the next few weeks on Golf Talk Canada Television. Over the next couple of weeks as well, Golf Talk Canada Radio will be on the road. I'm at East Lake for the Tour Championship. We're at President's Cup. Liberty National to close out Cup season. So lots to come still here at Golf Talk Canada Radio. Thank you so much for listening. We'll say goodbye now to our national audience. 30 more minutes on the other side if you're listening in 1150 in Hamilton, 1050 in Toronto, online, iHeartRadio app. Winners, weird, and what next? Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, the bonus 30. If you're listening to the iHeartRadio app, 1150 Hamilton, 1050 Toronto, a few other select markets. Get an extra 30 minutes of GTC. We're going to do leaderboard updates from around the world of golf. We'll have some Scully time. Talk a little bit more who he'd pick for President's Cup. Maybe Phil, maybe no Phil. Who's his player of the year? Why or why not? Maybe he falls in line with the Twitter universe or more with Bob and I. But first, winners, weird, and what? And Bob, the tee is yours.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, my winner this week is a guy who actually missed the cut this week. So it's hard to say he was a winner, but he missed the cut playing on the Web.com Tour. He's in the Web.com Tour Finals, and it's Roger Sloan, who's from Merritt, British Columbia. And Roger Sloan has had a pretty hard week, and yet he is still pretty positive. I talked to him this week for a piece I did on TSN.ca. So Roger Sloan now makes his home in Houston, and he is right now 53rd on the Web.com Tour list, trying to get his PGA Tour card for next year. But he lives in Houston, as I mentioned, so he is suffering from the floods. His house right now is dry, thank goodness, but his wife is 37 weeks pregnant, and that's 40 weeks is full term.
Wow.
So he can't get back in there. She has had to relocate from their home twice. She's gone to two different spots. She's safe now, and apparently they've found a route to the hospital. The floods have subsided enough that he can do that. But if that wasn't enough, he's also got to get back in the middle of the tour final, the last week on the Tuesday for his green card interview, immigration, which you cannot reschedule.
No.
And all this time, of course, he's also still trying to keep his card and play golf.
Well, trying to play golf here and get in that top 25,
yes.
Right? Top 50 get their card, but top 25 actually get to play.
That's right. And he actually ended up making a 9 on his first hole in the finals, fought back, missed the cut by a number, but hopefully good things for Roger Sloan, who is a really super nice guy. Hopefully there's no trouble with that flood. That flood is really causing a lot of problems.
Scary.
As I said, and you're going to have something on that in a minute, I know. My weird is a situation that took place in South Carolina where there was an arrest on a golf course.
This is crazy.
Now, some people who were back onto the golf course were calling, and they said it looked like there was a deer on the golf course or something was going on there. Then someone else said they thought somebody might have been hurt because there were two people lying on the golf course. Actually, what ended up happening was there were two people having sex on the golf course. And I'm quoting here. I'm going to quote here. Okay, so this is not me. This is the police said there were two people having doggy style intercourse on the golf course. Dakota Payne, 19, and Kiernan Hennessy, 24, were arrested for and booked at the Fort Mill Police Department. They said they were charged with indecent exposure and are scheduled to appear in court on October
3rd. Oh, young love. I'm sure their parents are very proud.
That was in the middle of the day, by the way.
That's unreal. Who
now?
What is? I'm getting old, Bob. How do the people make these decisions?
Now, for all you guys driving to the golf course right now, this is my what. I want you to consider the consequences of playing too much golf.
Oh, okay. I would not know.
Okay, because this is what happened in a golf course in South Korea.
Okay.
South Korea. A wife decided that her husband was playing far too much golf.
Right.
So you know what she did to correct that? She cut off his penis and flushed it down the toilet. She is said to attack the 50-year-old with a kitchen knife as he slept before his flushing his manhood down the loo. And Mrs. Kim was referred to in the police report. This has happened in Yeosu, South Korea. So it is interesting, though. I put that up on Twitter, and
that is absolutely insane.
I put that up on Twitter, and Jerry D, who is
yes, Mr. Jerry D, very
Mr.
funny,
D, very good golfer, by the way, said that his daughter heard that story and said afterwards, well, why would that stop him from playing golf? Which is a very good point.
That's true. Maybe his buddies let him move up a tee deck now.
That's right.
That could always work.
Although,
it's
just a warning to all you guys out there on a Saturday morning who are going there, and maybe your spouse doesn't think that's such a great idea, you're playing golf.
So to all my buddies
yeah.
who say to me, you know, my wife's mad at you, or because you invited me on another golf trip, and I can't do another golf trip, and you got to stay home. Things could be worse. Yeah, you could do a lot
right.
worse. So
that's
if you're just
right.
being told you maybe shouldn't go on another golf trip,
what?
Not a bad thing.
But what happens to that guy the next time he tees off and he doesn't hit it by the forward tees?
Oh.
You know that rule?
Jesus. Oh,
tee is yours, Mark.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Well, the truth is, I have nothing about genitals or sex in my winner's wear a lot.
Boring.
And I'm just going to go right out of the gates with my winner this week is just the professional golf efforts and people standing up. And it's come from all different parts of the world. Politicians, entertainers, athletes. But professional golf has not been left out in helping out the recovery of the people of Houston. It's devastating. Bob, you said to me off the air that if that kind of water fell in Toronto, it would consume the Sky Dome. Like, it's just ridiculous. Some of these images of freeways turning into rivers, it's just scary. These poor people. And I know, I believe the last time I looked, there was 39 fatalities. That number is going to climb as they start to, dry out certain areas. And unfortunately, but they have saved thousands of people. Stacey Lewis, who is playing LPGA event this week, tied for the lead right now with our own Brooke and Inji Chun. She is donating every dime she makes this
Amazing.
Week in Portland to the recovery efforts. Sergio Garcia, for the rest of the year, is going to donate thousands of dollars for birdies and eagles. Every time he makes a birdie eagle, he's going to make a donation through the rest of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Chris Stroud, you told me, who lived in the area. I did not know this. Chris Stroud is a resident of Houston. His area is one of the less touched areas. He has opened up his home as a shelter, basically, trying to help his neighbors and families in the area, giving them a place, a roof over their heads. So well done to the golf community, and well done, I guess, to anybody who got involved. Just a horrible, horrible story in Houston, but it's good to see that the professional golf world not ignoring it. My weird this week, Bob. Rory McIlroy, he opens with a 72 yesterday, kind of looks lost in the wilderness the whole way, and especially on the greens. And here we go again. For a player of this talent, for a player of this level, a guy who has won, four major championships, two of them by 8 shots, okay?
Crazy.
One leg shy of the career Grand Slam, and now we're 12 months into I Can't Putt. And I'm sorry, I'm not one of the world's greatest teachers. I'm not Butch Harmon. I am not David Ledbetter. I am not Sean Foley. But I do watch a lot of golf, as do you. I'm around these guys a lot. I'm watching Rory's technique, and from 12 months ago, early in the year, we saw him go left-hand low a little and try something crosshand. There's not much going on here. In terms of change, the path to me looks the same. The setup looks the same. How much longer do we go down the same path with Rory where you say, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is the definition of insanity? And I'm starting to feel like that. He was strokes gained putting negative 0.621. So through one round of golf, he's already giving away over a half a shot to the field to a guy whose ball striking is always incredible. And of course, this was highlighted by a 4-putt on the 11th green. But would you
from
not
15 feet.
From 15 feet? Is it not time to maybe really try something drastic here?
Well, he did go and see the putting guru in Europe a little while ago and thought he had it figured out. But just remember how great a putter he was when he was winning those majors and on those rolls. Man, it's got to be headworms to me.
Scary. But you know what? To me, I look at Adam Scott and everybody beats up Adam Scott about what a great golf swing he has and what a poor putter he is. But you know what? I'll give it to Adam Scott. He has tried and looked and searched. We see, you know, we see claw grips and we've seen brooms and we've seen figure out a way where putting will not get into his way to victory. Now, it's not been a good year for it, but I'm not seeing that from Rory. I'm not seeing the... I just want to see something different. I want to see something different, and it's frustrating. I'm a huge Rory fan, and it's just weird. My what this week is, what has happened in the last 24 months to the global game of golf? Because 2 years ago, we're sitting here, and we're saying, well, the Americans dominate the President's Cup, and you know the international team really needs to pick up their pants. They do. They win. They lose by only 1 point on a missed putt on the last hole, or the international team takes over the President's Cup. They have the best player in the world, Jason Day. They have Hideki Matsuyama. They have this very strong team. Then we fast forward a year from that, and the U.S. is basically is a must-win situation at the Ryder Cup, where we're going, okay, how long is Europe going to dominate the Ryder Cup? Americans are in a must-win situation. All of a sudden, in the last 12 months, what happens?
Yeah.
They win that must-win situation. The best players in the world right now are hands down American in Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas, with all due respect as well to Hideki Matsuyama you would throw into that mix. But where has Europe gone? Where has the rest of the international team gone? We had two Europeans win a gold medal and a silver medal. This was supposed to be a global game by now, a real global game, and I get that it is. But if you look at the strength at the top end of the food chain right now, it's red, white, and blue, and I'm surprised. We're looking at this President's Cup team, and you and I can't find two players to add to this international team. And if I had told you that 2 years ago, after a 1 point miss and the Olympics coming up and all these things growing in the game of golf, the tour going to Asia for another event next year, adding a third one in the schedule, and here we are, and it's red, white, and blue, and I'm going, this is shocking, Bob. You could add players to this international team that you and I wouldn't know if we hit them with our car.
Yeah, it's hard not to disagree. It's amazing how it goes, though, in cycles, right, and waves, and back and forth, because a few years ago we were talking about how few Americans there were in the top 10 in the world ranking. It's just unbelievable how the pendulum can swing, and it goes back to a little bit to what we were talking about with our Player of the Year vote.
Right, it certainly does, and it's just surprising and shocking to me, and what has happened to make that pendulum swing, thus my what this week. And I don't really know what the answer to that is, because tours going everywhere, European tours getting bigger, we had an Olympics. The pendulum should have swung the other way, and it didn't. Plus, a lot of those great American players were getting older. We didn't see this Justin Thomas coming and things of that nature. We probably should have. All right, Bob, on the other side, Scully time. Who is Player of the Year? Does he pick Phil Mickelson? Is he surprised at the weakness of the bottom half of the international team? Get into it next. We'll also look at leaderboard updates. This, GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC on Muskoka Bay. I bet you the colors are starting to flip soon. It feels like that. It's beautiful up there when the colors flip.
I'm hoping it's a little early for that, but you're right.
Sure don't feel it. Scully in studio now, master producer Adam Scully with Robert and myself. We'll do some leaderboard updates before we get to Scully time. Dell Technology is the stop on the FedEx Cup playoffs. Remember, only one round into this one, and Dustin Johnson with the lead, 500 par through one round of golf, and a host of players, including Rahm and Garcia, one back, Adam Hadwin and Mackenzie Hughes at one under.
What am I doing? FedEx Cup?
Yes, sir.
Live projections. Dustin Johnson, sorry. I've got 19 things going on once here. We got DJ, Spieth, Rahm, Thomas. Justin Thomas projected to go down one. Matsuyama down one. Fowler. Kyle Stanley is making the big move, and Mark Leishman, both projected right now to move up 12 spots. Sergio Garcia looks like he's going to move up 20 spots. So there's lots of movement on the board at the FedEx Cup, but right now, DJ, Spieth, Rahm, Thomas, Matsuyama, Fowler.
European Tour, the Czech Masters going on, and Chris Hansen has your lead there. That is a two-shot lead over Lee Slattery, and that is through two rounds on the European Tour.
LPGA Tour, Brooke Henderson tied for the lead at 10-under par along with Stacey Lewis and Ingy Chun. Aimee Azzato, Jody Ewart-Chadoff, and Maria Jatanagarn are at 8-under par.
Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship. This is the Web.com Tour Finals. Keith Mitchell has the lead at 10-under par. Adam Svensson, 32. He's at even par through two rounds of 70 and 72. Corey Connors at 1-over par.
Champions Tour is in Calgary for the Shaw Charity Classic, and Kevin Sutherland, who some people say bears a striking resemblance to me.
Yes, I see it.
He's at 8-under par. Scott McCarron, a former way back in the day Canadian Tour player, is at 7. Todd Hamilton, another guy who played in the Canadian Tour, is 6-under along with Billy Andrade and Scott Dunlap and Miguel Angel Jimenez, and the top Canadian, Rod Spittle, right now. He is tied for 23rd. And our buddy Stephen Ames, who used to live in Calgary, now lives in Vancouver, is tied for 45th.
All right, Skulls. Lots going on here today. We're throwing around a lot of stuff that there's still a ton of question marks. Some of it will get answered Monday night after the completion of the Dell technology. But let's start with Player of the Year. That's something that we're probably going to have to, you know, well, certainly technically speaking, we have to wait until the season wraps. Maybe we'll know a little bit more before we get to the official wrap of the season. I don't believe so. I'm still JT, Player of the Year. You saw our poll results, Dustin Johnson. Does that surprise you? And who's your Player of the Year, and what has to happen here?
Well, I mean, looking at DJ, he's obviously had a very streaky year going with three straight. Now he's sort of gradually getting his game back and obviously winning last week, and who knows what happens this week. Jordan Spieth has been, would you almost call it hot and cold? In a way, to a degree. I still think it's between Spieth and JT.
Because of the major.
Yeah. Unless DJ wins the FedEx Cup and perhaps wins one more event,
have at least 5 wins FedEx Cup champ.
If he goes out and wins 3 of the 4 tournaments in the FedEx Cup playoffs, it's hard to bet against him or choose.
Well, that puts him at 6 wins for the year too, right?
Here's something else to throw out to you. Like, we're talking about pendulum swings and coming out of nowhere and stuff. What if Brooks Koepka suddenly wins 2 events?
Yeah,
right. So stuff could happen. I mean, it's a long shot, I realize, but.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, so my follow-up question for you, because you're along the same wavelength as Bob and I, is that when you look at our Twitter results, are you surprised? And am I reading this right, that people don't care, don't give validation that Justin's wins in the fall and in Hawaii?
Well, I guess maybe to the more average or run-of-the-mill sporting fan or a sports fan that, you know, JT's first 3 wins were so early in the season that some may forget about.
And it's like a disconnect almost.
Yeah, exactly. And how he had some epic duels with Matsuyama way early in the season, and now that's, you know, what, 8 months ago?
Distant memory,
So people are, you know, thinking back to their most recent memory, and that was DJ, you know, making with that unbelievable tee shot in the playoff hole last week and carrying it 310, running to 340. that's just crazy to say out loud. But I guess that's the average sporting fan, or anyone really, that they go back to their recent thoughts.
You see, I understand that, but it's like, okay, the season is this now. The season is from, you know, middle of October to end of the FedEx Cup, and that's what we're judging. Mm-hmm. And to, like, skew the scale in terms of the season of importance is really weird for me outside of the event itself. Like, a major, obviously, is worth more, and Bob has, you know, suggested, obviously, a World Golf Championship versus a playoff. I get that, but a win's a win, a win. This guy still has 4 wins in a major. It's still the same PGA Tour season. I find it a bit head-scratching. All right, Phil Mickelson. Bob will not give it a yes. He's saying, I'm not sure yet. He doesn't know. I'm in the yes Phil camp for the reasons outlined. New York crowd, great international record, veteran leadership, team stacked anyway. If you're Steve Stricker, are you the first guy to say no to Phil Mickelson, or are you saying, yeah, Phil, you're on this team?
Well, yes, the team is stacked, and who knows what he does this week, and his form just isn't very good, and who knows with his unknown illness or whatever it is. But we saw last year in the Ryder Cup how Bubba sort of forced his way on as an assistant captain, and things worked out okay. Would you see, if Strick doesn't pick Phil, could you see Phil being an assistant captain just like as a last second sort of like just for the fans to root to,
like what happened to Bubba.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, could you see that happening? Because I probably could. Yeah.
I think
I could see it.
Would Phil want to?
Does Phil digest that at this point? You know, it's different for Tiger guys. He's not playing.
Yeah.
So his part is right. I don't know. Like, does Mickelson's ego get in the way? Does his competitiveness of wanting to be a part of this team get in the way that, you know, doesn't allow him to do that? I don't know. This is a guy who skipped the U.S. Open this year, and now he's going to go and show up as an I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you look at the list, and I mean, I'd rather on my team have Chapel, Harmon, or Duffner.
So you're saying no.
Yeah,
you're not picking him.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a look here at our closing Twitter results on this, because it just ended moments ago. Actually, there's 1 minute left officially in this vote. 52% to 48%
You have 48
in the
seconds
yes
to go.
Column. Wow. So 52% of the Golf Talk Canada Twitter universe suggest 51.
Wow, see, here you
go. So this audience is split right up the middle. If we left this poll going for another 7 days, we'd be within 1%.
Absolutely.
It is that split.
Yep.
And I do not envy Steve Stricker in this position, guys.
Yeah, definitely, I don't either. Yeah. I mean, I think the fact that he's got an all this loaded up team ahead of Phil Mickelson frees him up a little bit. But then what do you tell the guys who are 11 and 12? Hey, I'm not picking you because...
Yeah, hey, we want Phil.
Well, I guess it's tough to say that. You only say is, hey, it's Phil Mickelson. You know, show me your five majors and your international record, and we'll take a look from there. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I tell you one thing. For those players that you're getting leapfrogged, I think it's a lot easier to leapfrog them to pull out a name Phil Mickelson or Tiger Woods back in those days than it is to get leapfrogged to go say, I'm going to go pick Joe Smith. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's more digestible. I'm not saying it makes them happy. Just saying this is, you know, a generational player here that we – one in the red, white, and blue. All right, guys, we could talk about this for hours. We're back this week for TV. Golf Talk Canada Radio ready to hit the road. Lots to go. We have 3-4 weeks of TV left? Something along those lines? More than that?
More than that, yeah.
More than that, man.
It's like 7 or 8.
Seven? That much? Yeah. Wow, geez. Yeah.
Really?
I was trying to get the season off. Bob and I were trying to get the season off. Unbelievable. Yeah. Show us your stripes. Continue. Send us a pic with the hashtag Show Us Your Stripes. You and your Adidas gear or your favorite Adidas gear to Instagram or Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. Last chance to win a brand new pair of Adidas footwear as well as a grand prize draw the following week for a wardrobe from Adidas Golf. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.